and remembering who He is and who we are. So, well, it's a joy again to be here. Would you look in Genesis? It's not hard to find. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We'll begin our message this morning. While you're finding your place in Genesis 6, I did hear the story about this pastor that came to a new church, and the church owned a parsonage. It was right beside the church. And so he moved in there, and he got a certain amount of money to keep it up, but he didn't necessarily. It's about like my airline ticket. The airline told us when we called them, they said, well, just get the reasonable things that you need to get you by. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, I don't know. Just get the necessities. I had to get toothpaste and deodorant and all that. Just get enough stuff to get you by. And I said, well, could you put some parameters on that? Because we're going to reimburse you for what's the reasonable expenses. I said, well, give me some commentary on what reasonable expenses are. Well, I don't know. And I said, well, aren't you all the ones deciding? Yes, but we don't know what that is right now. You just have to submit all your receipts, and then we'll reimburse you to the level that we think you should be reimbursed. I said, this sounds a lot like tax season. Because you can call them and say, you've got to fill out your tax form, do all of that, and they could just tell you what you owe. You know they know, right? And they say, well, you got to fill that out and come to the amount that you owe, and then you submit it, and then you get to see whether whoever the big guy at the IRS says, yep, that's right, or no, that's wrong. If you get it wrong, you go to prison. Now, I wasn't going to prison for my submission of receipts, but they said it's just reasonable, and so we've got to give all these submissions and see whether they pay for our toothpaste or not. But we'll see. But that's a lot like what this pastor was that moved into this church or the parsonage, and the church gave him a little bit of money, a reasonable expense to get the taken care of. They didn't take care of it, but they said you for the mowing and for that you can pay, and we'll pay for you a certain amount. Well, he got a neighborhood boy he'd met. He said, well, you mow grass, right? Yeah, sure do. He said, would you mow the grass? So he said, yeah, sure do it. Well, he told the deacons and all that were in charge how much it was going to be. So, oh, we can't pay that much. That's more than we had allotted for. He said, well, I don't know what else to do. And then they said back to the pastor, they said, well, the former pastor, he used to mow it himself. And he said, well, I've already checked with him. He's not interested anymore. So you got to watch those pastors. So Genesis chapter 6, I want to preach for this little while about building an ark. Now, please understand, I'm talking about an analogy of building an ark in your life, in your family, in this great church, in your marriage. Not the physical ark that Noah built, but that's where we'll start. And God saw the wickedness, verse 5 of Genesis 6. He saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Look down, if you will, verse number 14. God speaking to Noah here. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be. And then he gives the dimensions, and he gives on, tells what else should be on that. He gives some instructions. I see our culture with all of its wickedness. And you don't have to watch any news websites very long or any newscast very long to figure out that if you're believing the book that you're holding in your lap and that's at your core like it should be as a Christian, it doesn't take you very long to figure out that out there is a lot different than what you've got right here. And we understand that we live in a very wicked way. A very wicked world, I should say. And I'm like the songwriter that says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Our days are wicked. But this isn't anything new because they were wicked in Noah's day as well. They were only evil continually. And what did Noah do? God directed him to build an ark. Of course, that ark was going to protect his family from the downpour of rain that was going to engulf the world and that universal flood that was going to kill off everybody. And so we don't have to build a physical ark, but I want to draw an analogy today of us building a safe place like an ark. And I trust that the Lord would get in what goes on today in these next few moments. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that some families would decide today before it's over that they're going to make their home a little safe haven, an ark. I pray there's some marriages in here that would say, no matter what the world throws at me, I'm going to make our marriage a safe haven centered on Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless this church to be that ark of safety as well. And I thank you for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a reason why I love to come to church. Of course, I'm the pastor, and I love to see a crowd, and I love to have fellowship with everybody. But there's more reasons than that. I love to come to church because if somebody's out there talking crudely or inappropriately or saying something nasty or ugly about somebody or about ladies or about anything, then there's some ushers out there that will say, listen, we don't talk that way here. They'll do it kindly, they'll do it nicely, but they'll say, we don't talk that way here. Not only should we not use that foul language, but then also, if we find ourselves engaged in some conversation and it gets ugly and we're talking ugly about somebody, hopefully somebody spiritual in that group will say, listen, let's find other things to talk about, because this place should be an ark of safety. It should be a safe haven. It should be a place where people can feel secure and safe and spiritual and looking to the Lord. And I want our church to always be that. But I see that not only in this church, but I see it in your marriage, in your home, in your family. I want to give you a few points, and I trust the Lord will bless you. I see, first of all, the need for the ark. Verse number 5 says, at the end of the verse, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was a reason why God come to that place where he's going to judge the world, because every thought was evil. There was also, the Bible says in verse number 11 that we did not read, but it says that the earth was filled with violence. It came to a point where God promised judgment in verse number 7, I will destroy man whom I have created. And so that place was getting so wicked that God said, I'm going to destroy this, and there was an ark that was needed. And you probably know where I'm going. This old world's not going to fare any much better the next time either. It won't be by water. God promised that. But this old world's going down a rough path, and we're going to have some arks to keep us safe. I see the need for the ark in that day, but I also see the need for the ark of your spiritual family. I see the need for the ark of your marriage. I see the need for the ark of this church and maybe your home. I see the need because the wicked one is well aware or well at work today. Let me give you these statistics. According to WebRoot, a cybersecurity company, every second, there are over 28,000 users watching pornography in just in the U.S. Every second, there's over $3,000 in the U.S. being spent on pornography on the internet. Every second, again, in the United States, there's 372 people that are typing the word adult and then some sort of information that they're trying to get, some lewd material that's adult, as if adults should look at it any more than anybody else. But we understand that this world is closing in. This world is wicked. Another statistic site, Statistica, says of violent crimes that are reported in the United States of America, aggravated assault is the most common. Do you know what these two things tell me? They tell me that, number one, we have no restraint on anything that we want to view, and then we also have no restraint on anything that we want to do. If we get mad enough, we just lash out at somebody. You know, back in the day, it was never right, but back in the day, if a man wanted to look at some kind of smut or ugly stuff, he would have to go out and purchase something. But now you can do it in the anonymity of your own home. You can just click on whatever you want. And I'm saying that this world is getting wicked and worse and worse. I'm appalled at the language and the lewdness and the lifestyle of people and the culture, just like you are. But here's where we get the chance to come, and we need to see the need for the ark. Your family, your children, your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren, this church, we need an ark of safety that we can navigate through until God says that he'll take you on. And so I see the need for the ark. But not only that, I want you to look in verse number 14. I see that not only do we see the need because it was only evil continually, and as I make the correlation from today, is that then we see that those things are true, but I see in verse number 14, there's a call to build the ark. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion in verse number 15, that thou shalt make it the length, and he tells the width, and he tells the window in verse number 16, and all of these things, because verse number 17 was going to come, and behold, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. And so we see not only the need that's prevalent there, but then we give the call. I want you to look at the characteristics of Noah. And again, making correlations to how we are today. The characteristics of Noah and how we can apply them today is this. I see, first of all, that it takes Christ. Although Noah didn't know as much about Jesus Christ, he would have known the Redeemer was coming sometime. I believe the Lord would have let him know that. But look in verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. He was a just man, perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. So first of all, I see in this need to build the ark, the call to build the ark, there's first of all, it takes Jesus Christ. If I'm going to make my home a little haven, if I'm going to make this my home a little piece of heaven on earth, if we're going to make this church a place where people can come and feel safe and a place where people can come and get the gospel and come and feel a protection from the outside world, then we're going to have to keep on making Jesus first things first, because it has to be Him. He said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto Me. It takes Jesus Christ. Noah walked with God. And so what I see from that is Noah made headlines in heaven. God saw all the wickedness going on. He said, it repents me that I made the world. But he saw Noah. And I want God to look down on Gray. I want God to look down on Bluntville. I want God to look down on Piney Flats, Kingsport, Johnson City, Irwin, where Limestone. I want God to look down and see, well, there's somebody that's honoring me. There's somebody that's praying before they start off on that trip. There's somebody that's gathering around the Word of God. There's somebody. There's these people. I see, first of all, this call to build the ark. It takes Christ. But in verse number 8, we see, not only does it take belief in the Lord, belief in Jesus Christ, but it takes character as well. Verse number 8, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In verse number 9, it says, he was perfect in his generations. Do you see that there? He was a just man and perfect in his generation. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, that talking about Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. So you're getting the picture. This world that's just wicked, but there's an old guy over there, mocked and ridiculed and laughed at. But he keeps on building, keeps on preaching, keeps on telling that judgment is coming, and what it takes to make that person keep on going is character. But I want you to look back in verse number 3 of our text or of our chapter. Not only does it take character, but it takes consistency. The Bible says at the end of that phrase, yet his days shall be 120 years. God put the countdown. He was going to put the countdown on the time till the world was going to be destroyed. And Noah just kept on preaching. I talk to people every week of my life that are disgusted with how this world's going. And I am as well. I like to look on the bright side, but we all know how it's going. And the answer is the same to every time I get a chance to talk to somebody. But you have a chance to be a light in a darkened world. But you and I have a chance to knock holes in the darkness, as it were. We can get so overcome and just say, well, who cares what's going to go on? I care what's going to go on, and God cares what's going to go on. And we can see this opportunity as the lights get turned out all around this world to be a bright and shining light for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Noah was that one that consistently preached the work of the Lord, and he continued to work for God. My father-in-law is one of the most knowledgeable men I know. He literally, with hands, built the churches that he was a privilege to be a deacon at. He built the house that my wife grew up in all of her life. He is able to do so much, but not only is he able to do much with his physical hands, but he has also stood for these years in faithfulness. I got to spend time with him this past week. And I love his reputation for steadfastness. Do you know how you get a reputation like that? Or you know how I get a reputation of being a good preacher? All I have to do is continue to be steadfast from now until God takes me home. Amen. I used to tell a couples class that I taught that when we all had little kids, almost all of them had little kids, and I said, do you know the way to have our children say good things about us at our funeral? It's simple to say, hard to do. All we have to do is live consistently from now till death. But Noah was a consistent worker for the Lord. He had that call to build the ark. Let me give you this last one. Not only the need to build the ark, and we see the need out there. Can I just tell you, without being alarmist, Satan has a target on every believer's back. Satan wants to destroy our family. Satan wants to do all these things. He's alive and well. and our family, your marriage, you need to grab each other arm in arm and say, honey, it's you and me. Let's go forward. If you've got more little ones around them, grab them too and go forward. If you're grandma, grandpa, grab all of them and say, we want to build this ark for the glory of the Lord. And we want to see it go forward because I believe that the Christian that's equipped with the Word of God, that stays on his knees and stays following the Lord, he can navigate, she can navigate their way through because God will protect them all the way. I see that the need for the ark and the the call for the ark. But then I want you to look at verse number 14 in our text, the building of the ark. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. You'll pitch it within, without. Verse 15, this is the fashion. The length of it shall be this, the breadth of it this, the height of it this. Verse 16, a window shalt thou make the ark, cubit thou shalt finish it above. He gives all of the building of the ark. And maybe you're here seeing the need for the ark. You see the world going haywire. You see the call to build the ark when God says, be a peculiar people. But I want you to get down to this last part in the few moments we have remaining and look at how we build this ark. How do you as a believer in Jesus Christ, how do you as a Christian family, how do we as a Bible-believing church, how do we build that ark? For Noah's ark, it took design. We just read some of it. There's more of it there. It took a plan. Well, you and I are going to have a plan for our life as well. Can I quote to you this verse, or read to you rather, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you notice the plan? There that God gives us, he says, you're a chosen generation. You're a special group of people. You're a royal priesthood. When we got saved, the Lord Jesus Christ came into us, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. That's why Christians ought to look different and talk different and act different. They shouldn't be able to look at you down at the workplace and say, well, he tells the same dirty jokes that somebody else does. That's not being a holy nation. God tells us we're the building of our ark is we're supposed to realize who we are. Number two, realize whose we are. And number three, realize what our job is. And that job is to tell it at the end of the verse because it showed us that we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we are supposed to be bright and shining lights for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, my friend, that in this wicked world, just like Noah's wicked world, we have a need for an ark. We don't need to start out here in the courtyard and build one that we can physically get on, but I tell you, you ought to grab that wonderful sweetheart of yours and grab that and say, our marriage is going to be an ark. We're going to pray God's blessings on it. We're going to pray God's protection on us. We're going to ask him to keep us safe and help us in all of the travels that we do. Your home is going to be the same way. There are some things going on in Christian homes that should never be named in a name and a home that names the name of Christ. We ought to raise our children and stay true to our spouse and honor our word, keep our commitments, all of these things to help build this ark. So that we ought to let our lives and our activities be reminiscent of how Noah lived his life. You know those boys got a lot of ridicule. You know Noah got a lot of mocking. And my friend, it's no different today. You know what people think about you gathering here together, sitting here in a church service? Weirdo. If you happen to come back another service this week on Sunday night or Wednesday night, weirdo. If you happen to come to a church activity, strange. No different than what they did with Noah. You know, mocking and ridiculing got on as the 120 years he built and built and built on that ark. And our lives ought to be reminiscent of what Noah had to face. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And my friend, they're marrying and giving in marriage. They're eating, they're drinking, they're making all of their plans. They're doing whatever everybody is. Basically, the people in Noah's day ignored the warnings that Noah was giving. Well, this old church has been here for 245 years or so. It's been trying to warn people that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And over these years, many, many people have mocked and ridiculed, said, you bunch of fanatics. You've been saying that forever. But one of these days, just like God shut the door on that ark and Noah was kept safe, he and his family, one of these days, those mockers, and I don't say this with happiness at all, one of these days, those mockers will see that what they mocked was true. That ark that protected Noah and his family, symbolically now, I believe you ought to build that ark. Let God keep you safe in His promises. This world is wicked, but you and I'm privileged to say, can navigate through this world. You got to stay in that ark of safety. One of the greatest pictures of the ark, one of the greatest things the ark pictures, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Noah was saved from destruction because of that physical ark. I believe it all the way through. And the Bible teaches that not physical destruction in that way alone, but spiritual destruction. The Bible says death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. So death is worse than just drawing your last breath. The greatest picture about that ark, what it greatly pictures, is Jesus Christ, a relationship with Him. And maybe you're here, my friend, and you're knowing that this world is getting worse and worse, and there's all kinds of wickedness just like there was in Noah's day. Noah got in that ark so that he got saved physically. God says that you, my friend, need to get in the ark of safety of Jesus Christ, the ark of salvation, the ark of eternal happiness, of eternal salvation. You need to get in that ark who is Jesus Christ. And now I'm not saying that people won't laugh at you when you become a religious fanatic, because they might. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, you become a follower of His, people might say, what'd you go get religion for? They may mock just like they did with Noah. But my friend, if you're not in the ark of Jesus Christ, one of these days when this life is over for you, you'll forever be sorry. The ark protected Noah physically. Jesus Christ wants to save you spiritually, save you eternally. If you're here today and you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior, you say, Pastor, I know about Him. I know He came. I understand all that. I know. But He came to be the Savior of the world. But He also wants to be your personal Savior. And if you're here and you've never entered into that ark of safety, you've never asked Christ to forgive your sins, maybe you've chased everything that the world has, but today it's coming clear in your mind and you feel the conviction of the Lord that I need to ask Christ to be my Savior. I need to enter that ark. My friend, that's your need of the hour. If you're here today and you're not saved, please, I beg you, would you take Jesus Christ as your Savior? He didn't come to give you a better life. He didn't come to make you a better husband, better wife, better family man, do all these things, bless your business. Those are outpourings of all He does. He does all that and a lot more. But what He came for was to save you and I from our sins. And if you're not saved this morning, I beg you, get in that ark of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are saved this morning, you watch the news, you see the blogs, you see the newscasts, you see the websites, you know it's getting worse and worse and worse. My friend, those waters coming down on Noah didn't bother him a bit because he was in the ark of safety. And as we Christians navigate through this world, wicked as it is, they don't have to bother us. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I am so thankful that I'm as safe as can be because of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian in this room today, I beg you to plant your feet and say, I want to build this ark around me, ark of protection in my family, the ark of Scripture, the ark of prayer. And then what I'm going to do finally is let God close that big old door on me. and realize that He's the one that sealed me. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being the one that sealed us. And let Him close that big door on me and realize whatever winds come, whatever rain comes, I'm safe inside. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that if anybody in this room is unsaved, dear Lord, I pray they would get saved. I pray if there's some Christian in here that's been living in the world more than they ought to, dear Lord, if they've been doing what they ought not do, I pray that they would, Lord, decide today to live a life that's pleasing to You. Bless us, I pray, Father, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with me as they begin to play? If God's speaking your heart, I invite you to come. Perhaps you're a Christian, and you ought to lead the way. Maybe you need to conclude today that I want God to build that ark around me. I want to take my family. I want to navigate through these waters and be protected, be safe, be in His loving plan. Maybe you're here married and you need to grab your sweetheart by the hand. You can come forward if you want, or you can just pray right there and say, I want our home to be that safe haven. There's enough world out there. I don't need it in our marriage. And again, if you're here today and not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Let us show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you just to play through another verse, though. Maybe God's still doing a work in your heart. And I challenge you, my friend, to evaluate where you are in your life, in your marriage, in your home. Maybe you've got grandkids that you have a great amount of time with. I'm begging you, my friend, to pray a hedge of protection around them, that ark of safety. Don't be satisfied till all of them are in, all of them are saved, all of them are trying to live for the Lord. And maybe it's just you and mama now. Maybe you don't have anybody that's really looking up to you. I challenge you to grab each other, even there in the pew, and take hand in hand and say, God, keep us safe. Keep us serving You. Keep us on the right path as we navigate through this wicked world. Thank you. You can look this way. Here's how I'd like to share a couple of things with you, and then we're going to have a few baptisms. And Brother Daniel's back getting ready, and Brother Wills is going to help us with that as well. But I realize that sometimes your schedule is such that you need to slip out, and I completely understand that. Please don't feel bad a bit about that. But if you're able to stay and see this baptism, we'd love to have you stay with us. But while they're getting ready, I did want to share with you the 8:45 service. We had Brother Mike and Miss Kathy Chapman. They're saved. They love the Lord. And they joined the church this morning at the 8:45 service. And we had a good crowd on that service. And we thank God for that. But also thank Him for working and bringing the Chapmans our way. I hope to get you to meet them sometime in a future service, but they were here for the early service, and we thank God for what He's done. I believe there was maybe 118 or so in the first service, and we thank God for what He's doing in that. So I just want to update you on that. Again, if you're here guest with us, then please don't forget to stop by guest services and get a gift for you just for being our guest, and we certainly thank you for that. And some of the other sign-ups that are out there, please avail yourself to those. One thing important, very important, don't forget next Sunday night is the ice cream fellowship that Daniel mentioned, but some things get mentioned twice because we like ice cream. And so if you want to try your hand at that, come and you can set up your freezer in the kitchen if you want to go during that. Some people do it early and freeze it and bring it in. But if you have any questions, you can call the office this week. Phyllis will get you taken care of, or Stephanie, one of the other, or one of us staff will. One of the staff will, and they'll take care of you. So we're going to let them play through. Daniel, you ready?
Apparently not. So, well, we are just about ready.
Okay.
So, Acts 2, verse 42 says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And we're excited to have today several who are going to get baptized this morning. And it's a joy to be able to see all of these. We've got the Armstrong kids are made professions of faith, and they will get baptized here this morning in just a few moments. And then one other precious lady who's been coming for a little while as well, who has come forward today and wants to be baptized as well. But the privilege that we have as a church family, there's a lot of special things that that do happen, is here in after we baptize this first, is that the grandfather of the children is going to have the privilege to baptize them. And so I'll say more about that in just a moment. This is Donna Gregg. Donna has been coming for a little while, and normally she's on a walker, so it's not the easiest thing for her to be in here, but she has been saved and wants to be baptized, and she was speaking with Pastor before the service. And so, Donna, we are excited for you, and based on your profession of faith, we will baptize you. You can go ahead. Based on your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with him by baptism into death, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Well, Donna rides one of our buses, so thank the Lord for the bus ministry and the privilege we have to have it and to get them here and to get her here so she can be baptized. And so, as I was saying, we are excited for the Armstrong family. This is a great moment for their family. And one of the great excitements about it is the kids, their grandfather, Brother Jeff Wills, he's a ordained minister, and he just recently joined the church, and so the Lord just lined it up perfectly. And so we are actually going to have him come, and he's going to baptize them at this time. Brother, you come and I'll turn it over to you. He said normally he baptizes in the creeks, so this is a step up for him, and so we're excited for you, brother. Just however he wants to do it, they can all. All right, yeah. So I guess all at once. So
we got some tales.
Jesus. And I believe my grandkids are coming up here to confess that they know Jesus Christ, and I hope that it will be a continuation with them for the rest of their lives. Levi, before these dear folks out here have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior,
yes, sir.
And according to your faith, through Jesus Christ, I baptize thee, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 This will be the second oldest, Caleb. Caleb, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Okay, upon your profession of faith, I baptize thee, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the midst of
it. Amen.
This one doesn't talk very loud, but we'll see. Nathan, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
He said yes. According to your faith, brother, in Jesus Christ, I baptize thee, my brother, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son, buried in the likeness of his death, Praise the Lord and praise the Lord. Say that the Armstrongs are right down here, and I consider them super, super grandparents.
Amen. And as he mentioned, the children, that was Brother Wills as a pastor in Independent Fundamental Baptist Church and ordained, and we thank God for him moving them back this way. But then also, Brother Chad's parents are here with us, and we're certainly thankful for them being here for this special day, and we thank God for the family. So it's been a joy to be here, and one thing I was thinking, with all those kids, I might have gotten the wrong name too, but if Grandpa gets the wrong name, then that would make the pastor certainly a little bit more forgiving to get the wrong name. So why don't you stand together with us? Thank you for being here. It's a joy to see each of you. I'm going to make my way to the back. If we can do anything for you, please let us know. I do invite you back for the Lord's Supper night tonight. It'll start normal time, 6:30. We'll have a sweet time of fellowship with our church family. Invite you that you will pick up the juice and the bread in the lobby on your way in, and we'll have a great service plan for you. Thank you so much for being here. God bless. You're dismissed.